Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 14. Okay, 2 Kings 14. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. And he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all that Joash his father had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Now it came about, as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his hand, that he killed his servants who had slain the king his father. But the sons of the slayers he did not put to death, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, as the Lord commanded, saying, "The fathers shall not be put to death for their sons, nor the sons be put to death for the fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin." He killed of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war and named it Jokthiel to this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us face each other." And Jehoash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, "The thorn bush which was in Lebanon sent to the cedar which was in Lebanon, saying, 'Give your daughter to my son in marriage.' But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud. Enjoy your glory and stay at home. Why should you provoke trouble so that you should fall in Judah with you?" But Amaziah would not listen. So Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and they fled each to his tent. Then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and tore down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the utensils which were found in the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam his son became king in his place. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Now, the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And they conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. And all the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah, and after the king slept with his fathers. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, which was very bitter, for there was neither bond nor free, nor was there any helper for Israel. And the Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did in his might, how he fought and how he recovered for Israel, Damascus and Hamath, which had belonged to Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son became king in his place. I also want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Is another reading, same passage basically, but a little bit more. In chapter 25, we read verse 1, is Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And this is the key, verse 2. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. A lot of the kings you'll find in the Chronicles are written about them, and the Chronicles give a little bit more detail. It's almost like a backstory of what's going on, and you see exactly where Amaziah fails the Lord. Prophets come to him, men of God come to him. What's not here in Kings, but we'll get to in Chronicles, is that he goes and he fights against the Edomites. What's not said in Kings is he brings back all the idols. And so he leads Judah into idolatry, and which is kind of crazy, especially after a great conquest that God does on behalf of Judah. And so he does these kinds of things. So we see in chapter 14, so Amaziah, he comes into office, he rules. He's a pretty good king. He does right in the sight of the Lord. King says, but not like his father David. In other words, a man after his own heart. But then in Chronicles, we learn a little bit more. So he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with the whole heart. I want to suggest to you that that could very well be possibly one of the most tragic verses in the Bible. That this person, he did good. He was a good guy. But he didn't give God his whole heart. And you look at something like that, and I don't know about you, but I think, man, what a waste. I mean, what an absolute waste. The things that God had given to him, the authority, the privilege, the anointing, all these things, and he didn't give God back his heart. That was really the only thing that the Lord wanted. And as a result, his life is a tragedy. Especially if you read the Chronicles passages upon him. So let's go through a little bit. So you find out that he's a good guy. He goes and he fights against the Edomites. He wins. The first thing he does is once he has gained power, he eliminates the people that actually murdered his father, and so which is proper. And we understand that he's a pretty good king in the sense that he follows the Mosaic law, that he doesn't kill everybody, which was common during this time. That you had, and you'll see the evil kings did this all the time, that they had anyone associated with the former regime, they just killed them all. Aunts, uncles, counselors, everybody. But he follows the Mosaic law in the sense that only the people responsible for the sin will be punished. So that happens. And then he goes into fight at Edom, over basically at the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea area, and he wins. And as a result, he's full of pride. He gets puffed up in this way. And this is the danger of not giving your heart to the Lord. Or this is the danger, really, we can call it delusional or something this way, but when you don't give credit to God, you can very well easily think that you did it yourself. And he's in this place right now, and he believes, the Edomites, yeah, I did this. Well, when you read the passage in Chronicles, you find out very much so that God did it on his behalf, especially with the prophet coming in, talking to him about these things. But he took it to heart, and so he became proud in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, listen very carefully. The moment you stop giving thanks, the moment we become ungrateful for what God has done in our life is the moment that pride starts creeping into our lives. The moment you stop saying thank you, that you stop recognizing that God is the one that's given this job to you, that's blessed you with your family, that's, you know, all these things. And then what we do, because we're sinners, we're prone to take our victories or take the very things that God has given to us, and we're prone to not only accredit to ourselves, but then kind of go off the reservation and crave more. There was no reason for the king of Judah to fight the Edomites. For whatever reason, okay? I mean, I'm not going to get into that commentary there for a moment. But So he's filled with this victory that God gave him, and because he was ungrateful, he enters into another war that he should never have gotten into. Because that's the other thing, the issue of pride. Pride, like when you have pride, you are never satisfied. You always have to have more. You always, you know, you make a manager, you need to be the CFO. You're a CFO, you need to be the CEO. In so many levels, you're a millionaire, now you're going to be a billionaire. I mean, it just the pride, it just never ends. You'll never be satisfied. And when we have ingratitude in our hearts, there's a beast that's awakened inside of us that you just want more and more and more and more. And that's what happens to Amaziah. So next thing you know, he provokes. There's no reason to fight against Israel. And on top of this, there's no reason to fight against Israel in your own land. You know what I mean? I mean, he's sacrificing his own land to do this. If you're going to attack Israel, go fight them on Israel's land. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so we find a horrible strategy at work. And even the evil king Jehoash basically says, "Hey, it's okay, man." And he uses this kind of ancient Near East like idiom, and he says, "Oh, you know, you're a thorn. You know, I'm a cedar." He's drawing this thing. You're like a little nothing, basically. But we are this huge cedar of Lebanon. You know, the cedars of Lebanon were the most beautiful, strongest trees. So he's making a point there. And he says that you're basically going to get quashed. And that's exactly what happens. So he doesn't listen. I mean, the Jehoash actually reads his mail. And he basically says, you know, you're lifted up right now. You just beat the Edomites. You're full of yourself. Just stay home. I mean, this is like good advice, right? Just stay home. Just enjoy your victory, man. But no, the pride, he wants more. He's thinking, wow. Imagine Amaziah. Man, I'm powerful. I'm the man. I'm going to get as much as I can right now while I'm on fire. I guess I imagine this is what gamblers go through all the time. Right? It's like, man, I'm on fire right now. I better go bet more. And then, you know, you end up losing everything. That's what happens. He goes in, he loses everything, and he gets captured himself. Somehow he gets released, but notice, he never gains the favor of the people again. And when Jeroboam II comes into power, we don't know quite the story. He gets released, something happens, but his own people actually murder him. They basically get tired of him. I mean, think about it. The king of Israel came in and not only knocked the wall down, the very thing that was of great prize to the men of Judah, but they went into the temple in the sanctuary and took the gold, took all the precious instruments, and they took it to Israel. And so the people are like, man, I don't know about this king. And the first chance they got, they eliminated him and they put his son in his place. And then, you know, the next thing, you have the story of Israel, of Jeroboam. This is now Jeroboam II now. And he goes in and he restores some of the land as God does not want to wipe out all of Israel, even though they're all evil kings in this regard. And so something decent happens in the reign of Jeroboam II. And so, you know, as we go through this, you know, I want to go back to that passage in 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. And I think most of us, we, in other relationships, we hold this very true. But for whatever reason, in our relationships with God, we get very lax on this whole thing. For whatever reason, maybe because we think God is so big that he's okay with half effort. That God is okay with just following the commandments, you know, or something to that effect. You know, in human relationships, like you're in a dating relationship, or you're in a marriage, or you know, anything that way, and you give your spouse or you give your boyfriend or girlfriend half your heart, that's a horrible relationship. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I do everything right. In other words, I come home for dinner on time. I sit and eat with my family. I take my wife on holiday once a year. I take my children on holiday once a year. You know what I mean? I go to church every Sunday with my family. I provide for my family. I do everything that's right, but I never give my heart to my spouse. I never give my heart to my children. Is that a good marriage? You think of a relationship, boyfriend, is that a good relationship? Of course not. It's a horrible relationship. I mean, it's a distant relationship. It's a relationship that's headed for divorce. It's a relationship that's headed for LAM, you know, or for counseling and all kinds of stuff that come our way. It's crazy how that works. But yet somehow in our pea brain mind, we tend to think like, yeah, God, I just need to do the right things. I just need to come to church. I pay my tithe. I lift my hands in worship. I serve in this and that ministry. And we think that's good enough. God, I'm just gonna do what's right. And God says, no, what I wanted all along was your heart. Hear, O Israel. This is the rallying point, or this is really the central verse of the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the whole of everything. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with everything. That's, brothers and sisters, that's our standard. God is not pleased with just us doing the right things. Because, you know, to be honest, there's people that are not Christians that are doing the right things. They're being kind to people. They're being generous with people. They're doing a lot of different stuff that really requires hardly any faith. They're being good, decent human beings. And that's not exactly what God wants. I mean, obviously he wants us to be decent, but the decency comes out of a vibrant, living, loving relationship with God. Do you love God today with everything? Or are you like Amaziah? He did right, yet not with his whole heart. Have you given God today, this morning, are you giving God your whole heart? Max effort, max heart, not just some of it. Don't think of our human relationships and make that correlation. Because sadly enough, you know, many times we do that, human relationships. But God will not stand for that. Remember, he tells the church in Laodicea, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. We need to go back to that first love. And remember, I talked about first is not a numerical. It's not first, second, third. First is meaning primary. Or I should say first is not necessarily this idea of nostalgia. Oh, going back to that puppy love. It's talking about it's primary in our life. It's the only love of our lives. And so let's close our eyes. Brothers and sisters, it's sin to only do the right things, yet not with our whole hearts. Again, going back to Revelation, the church in Ephesus, he tells them that, man, you guys are so discerning. You persevere under persecution. You have keen discernment. Right? You know who the false prophets are. Man, just crazy church, incredible church. He says, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. I'm sorry, I think I said Laodicea. It's actually Ephesus. You have left your first love. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Are we loving God with everything? Or are we just doing the right things, yet not with our whole heart?
Broke the night like the Jesus
This morning, Amaziah is a cautionary tale. So what happens when we don't give thanks and we take credit for what God has done in our lives? And the greatest thanks that you can give to the Lord is to give Him your whole heart. And so this morning, let's do that. Let's give Him thanks and let's highlight that thanksgiving by offering up our whole heart. Say, Lord, I give you everything. Forgive me for withholding. I know sometimes we get hurt and we sometimes get disappointed with God. And then what happens is we go through the motions and we start withholding our heart. Same thing, your spouse or your friend hurts you and then you start withholding a little bit of your heart and it's not the same again. You can be restored in the Lord. And let's give Him our whole hearts. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family members that are going through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray particularly for Calvin. Calvin's doing his second round of chemo today, roughly about 10 o'clock in the morning. There's actually some good news that came out. They did a scan and it seems like the chemo is actually working and his tumors on his liver have gone down by 10% already. After one treatment, the oncologist said that's pretty crazy. They don't really see that happening. And so let's really thank God and let's continue to push and pray for a complete healing over his body. And let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray that Jesus would reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related injuries and illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our sister to find a job. Let's pray that God will open the doors and provide for her during this time. Let's pray for Liz. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Singapore and Indonesia this morning. Let's pray for these countries. Pray that Holy Spirit would breathe upon these lands. Particularly, let's pray for our churches. Let's pray for SPSG. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his family, especially as they adjust to their fifth kid, Avery. Let's pray for their board and that the church will continue to grow in his grace and knowledge. Let's pray for Spin, Pastor Selamat, the ministry, their anniversaries coming up soon. Let's pray for incredible celebrations during that week. And pray the Holy Spirit would really lead him and his family to really lead these ministries. And let's pray. Let's pray for these countries and our churches. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, for IP Well and the River. Particularly pray for Belinda and Janice as they take on the lead roles as Rachel is on maternity leave. Let's pray that these ministries, as our volunteers and leaders get together, that just power just happens. So pray that the prayers are effective. Pray for the prayers of healing and inner healing and deliverance to be effective, and people would be recharged, restored during these times. So let's lift up. Let's pray for education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our leaders, our teachers. Pray for our kids that they would grow strong in the Lord. Pastor Mary and Yiling and a handful of teachers will be going to Chicago today and tomorrow for a conference. And let's pray for a safe trip. Let's pray that they would really learn and receive everything that God has in store for them at this conference, at this Children's Ministry Conference. Let's pray over our outreaches, SP Lights, Homie Outreach tonight. Let's pray that the Lord would take our volunteers and just use them powerfully. Pray for protection from the evil one, and pray for every encounter would be spirit-led and spirit-filled. Let's just cover them. Let's pray for East Bay and Olympic House Church tonight. Let's pray as they gather together that Holy Spirit would lead, the leaders would be led by Him, and that people would connect with God and with each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Again, thank you for an incredible reminder, Lord. God, that the kind of relationship, Lord, that we ought to have with you and that you want to have with us, God, is one of intimacy, Lord. It's closeness, God. But it's not just doing the right things or going through the motions, Lord. But God, but it's a relationship that's hot, that's on fire, Lord, that draws us to you, God. It's a relationship, Lord, that's full of passion, God, for you. And so help us, Lord. And if we are going through the motions, God, and just comfortable and satisfied with just doing the right things, Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us, God. Lord, you want a passion, Lord. And so would you stir that passion in us? You put it in us, God. Lord, you said, God, in your last prayer in John 17, Lord, that the love that the Father has for the Son, and your prayer was, Lord, put it in them, God. And so that capacity is in every man and woman, Lord. And so I pray that we would move in the love of the Father over the Son, God. Every single one of us, Lord. God, let it just flow out of us, God. Especially, Lord, as we recognize that when we're being grateful, Lord, that it flows. And so help us, God. We love you, Lord, today. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and I will see you guys tomorrow.